Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindra Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text 45. Nasya Karmani Janmadau Parasyana Vidyate Kartritva Pratishedartam Maya Ropitam Maya Ropitam He Tat Nasya Karmani Janmado Parasyana Vidyate Katritva Pratishedartam Maya Ropitam Hitat Nasya Karmani Janmado Parasyanu Vidyate Kartritva Prashishedartam Maya Ropitam Hitam Nasya Karmani Janmado Parasyanu Vidyate Kartritva Pratishedartam Maya Ropitam Hitat Nasya Karmani Janmado Parasyanu Vidyate Patitra Patishedartam Mayaya Ropitamitat Yakarmani Janmado Yavriyate Patitra Patishedartam Maya Ropitam Hitat Asa Karmani Gavano Vyate Pampate Hartam Yavam Hitat Asa Karmani Gavano Prasyanu Vidyate Siddhartham Vaishnavis Nasya Karmani Janmado Prasyanu Vidyate Asakarmani Janmado Kartatrava Vidyate Sehartam Ayarabhitamita Kamaro Yavidiyate Pajitaikartam Ayarabhitamita. Translation and synonyms. Na, never. Never. Asya, of the creation. Karmani, in the matter of. Janma Ado, creation and destruction. Parasya, of the supreme. Anavidiyate, it is so described. Kartritva, engineering. Pratishedatam, counteract. Mayaya, by the external energy. Aropitam, is manifested. He, for. Tat, the creator. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. There is no direct engineering by the Lord for the creation and destruction of the material world. What is described in the Vedas about His direct interference is simply to counteract the idea that material nature is the creator. Purport. The Vedic direction for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world is this. Yato vai mani bhutani jayanti, yena jatani jivanti, yat pratiyantya abhisam vishanti. I.e., everything is created by Brahman. After the creation, everything is maintained by Brahman. Brahman. And after annihilation, everything is conserved in Brahman. Gross materialists, without any knowledge of Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, conclude material nature to be the ultimate cause of the material manifestation. And the modern scientist also shares this view, that the material nature is the ultimate cause of all the manifestations of the material world. This view is refuted by all Vedic literature. The Vedanta philosophy mentions that Brahman is the fountainhead of all creation, maintenance, and destruction. And Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentation on the Vedanta philosophy, says, Janmadyasya yataha anyavayad itaratas chartesh abhigyasvarat. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1, etc. Inert matter is undoubtedly energy with potential to interact, but it has no initiative of its own. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore comments on the aphorism, Janmadyasya, by saying, Abhigya and Swarat, i.e., the Supreme Brahman is not inert matter, but He is Supreme Consciousness and is independent. Therefore, inert matter cannot be the ultimate cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. Superficially, material nature appears to be the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. But material nature is set into motion for creation by the Supreme Conscious Being, the personality of Godhead. He is the background of all creation, maintenance, and destruction. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam He tun anena kaunteya jagat viparivartite. The material nature is one of the energies of the Lord, and she can work under the direction of the Lord, adyakshena. When the Lord throws his transcendental glance over the material nature, then only can the material nature act, as a father contacts the mother, who is then able to conceive the child. Although it appears to the layman that the mother gives birth to the child, the experienced man knows that the father gives birth to the child. The material nature, therefore, produces the moving and standing manifestations of the material world after being contacted by the Supreme Father, and not independently. Considering material nature to be the cause of creation, maintenance, etc., is called, quote, the logic of nipples on the neck of a goat, end quote. The Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this logic of Aja Gala Stana Nyaya as follows, as explained by His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Quote, the material nature as the material cause is known as Pradhan, and as the efficient cause it is known as Maya. But since it is inert matter, it is not the remote cause of creation. End quote. Kaviraj Goswami states as follows. Ataeva Krishna Mula Jagat Karana Prakriti Karana Yaichi Ajagalastana. CC Adi 561. Because Karnavashayi Vishnu is a plenary expansion of Krishna, it is he who electrifies the matter to put it in motion. The example of electrification is quite appropriate. A piece of iron is certainly not fire, but when the iron is made red hot, certainly it has the quality of fire. Though it's burning through its burning capacity. Matter is compared to the piece of iron, and it is electrified or made red hot by the glance or manipulation of the supreme consciousness of Vishnu. Only by such electrification is the energy of matter displayed in various actions and reactions. Therefore, inert matter is neither the efficient nor the material cause of the cosmic manifestation. Sri Kapila Dev has said, Yatol mukad vispulangat durnad vapi swasambhavat aptyat me atma atmatvena bhimatad yatagni pritag ulmakat. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.28.40. The original fire, its flame, its sparks, and its smoke are all one. For fire is still fire, yet it is different from the flame. The flame is different from the sparks, and the sparks are different from the smoke. In every one of them, namely in the flames, in the spark, and in the smoke, the integrity of fire is present. Yet, all of them are differently situated with different positions. The cosmic manifestation is compared to the smoke, because when the smoke passes over the sky, so many forms appear, resembling many known and unknown manifestations. The sparks are compared to living entities, and the flames are compared to material nature, pradhan. One must know that each and every one of them is effective simply because of being empowered by the quality of the original fire. Therefore, all of them, namely the material nature, the cosmic manifestation, and the living entities, are but different energies of the Lord, fire. Therefore, those who accept the material nature, prakriti, as the cosmic manifestation's original cause, prakriti is the cause of creation according to Sankhya philosophy, are not correct in their conclusion. The material nature has no separate existence without the Lord. Therefore, setting aside the Supreme Lord as the cause of all causes is the logic of Ajangalasthana Nyaya, or trying to milk the nipples on the neck of a goat. The nipples on the neck of a goat may seem like the sources of milk, but to try to get milk from such nipples will be foolish. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, when I read this about the nipples on the neck of a goat, I was kind of wondering about it because I've seen goats. I just kind of, you know, like in Vrindavan and other places, you can see goats, but I never really studied them very carefully. I just kind of look, it's a goat. I don't check out every little part of it. So I was wondering when I read this, what do these nipples on the goat look like? Are they kind of like mine, kind of like these? No, they're more like the nipples on the udder of a cow. So that's what kind of let me understand this example better, because Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that it's like trying to get milk from the nipples of the goat on the goat's neck. Of course, the female goat does have similar nipples like a cow, maybe a little smaller. But if you try to get nipples from those two, get milk from those two nipple-like things hanging off the neck of the goat, it's not going to be possible. So that's this logic of the, what is it called? The Gala, yeah. Long purport here. But anyways, that logic is very bad. It's a mistake to think like that. Yet, really, the material scientists are making that logical mistake. They're seeing the material energy, and they're thinking they're going to get consciousness out of it. They're going to get all this order and complexity. Because they're thinking, well, it looks like a cow's nipples, and therefore the goat's nipples are going to yield the same thing. But the mistake is that all over the world, people are actually getting milk from the cows, from their nipples. And nobody has ever gotten any milk ever from the nipples on the neck of the goat. Never. Of course, they could say, well, in the future, we'll be able to do it. So it's just like, you know, like if somebody were to tell you, yes, you'll get milk. We are going to get milk from the from those things that are hanging off the goat's neck. It would be rather foolish to accept that idea. So the material scientists, they're saying, yes, we will be able to create a living thing from matter. We will be able to explain how consciousness comes from matter. We will be able to explain how we can have all this complexity and order in the universe. Someday we'll be able to do it. We can't do it now. Nobody's ever done it before, but somehow we're going to do it. So that's what's being indicated by this particular example. And yeah, we kind of find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even like in the 10th canto, in Krishna's pastimes, you know, we find examples of this. Like when Krishna killed the Shakatasura demon, or drove it out. So it's really an amazing story. Krishna at that time was just an infant, only a few months old. And he had been placed by Yashoda underneath this cart. And she was busy doing other things, and Krishna wanted some milk. He wanted milk from her breast. He was a baby. He was hungry. He wanted, and she wasn't coming because she was busy receiving guests at a festival. And he became angry, so he kicked his little feet, and the cart fell apart, and the demon, or ghost, actually, that was occupying it, went out. So everybody was wondering, you know, at the festival, Nanda, Yashoda, everybody there, they saw the cowherd men, they saw this cart just like spontaneously crash, fall apart. And they were wondering, they were speculating, well, what could have caused this? Is there some bad planet? Is there some ghost? How did this happen? Did it just spontaneously happen? And the children, the older children who were around said, no, 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 Krishna did it. And they wouldn't believe it. You know, this is childish talk. How could this little baby do that? You know, not really possible. So sometimes these epistemological questions come up even in Krishna's pastimes. Or, you know, there was a similar case that we're dealing with now in Kartik, you know, the Krishna being bound around his belly with a rope by Mother Yashoda and tied to a mortar. And he pulls the mortar through these two Arjuna trees. The mortar becomes lodged between the two trees that are standing fairly close together. And then Krishna pulls down these huge trees, and they come down with a huge crash. And then a flash of light comes out, and these two shining beings emerge from the two trees. And their Mani Griva and Alukuvara, and Krishna blesses them and they go to their appropriate places. So what the cowherd men and women hear is just the crash. The trees are down, and they saw this big flash of light, and they're wondering what they run up there, and they're wondering, what, there's Krishna, little baby Krishna, he could have been smashed by these trees. What's going on here? And again, you know, the children say, well, the children who are around, little kids, say, well, Krishna pulled down the trees, and these two demigods came out, and you know, so Krishna did it. And they go, no, 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 this little kid, little baby, how's this little baby going to pull down these trees? You know, there must be something else, you know, going on here. You know, maybe some other demon has attacked. Krishna's been attacked by a demon before. So, you know, they just don't accept. So in one sense, you could say that the devotees are like the children who are saying to the scientists, Krishna did it. Krishna arranged, you know, at least in the background. Of course, that's the point that's being made here. It's not that Krishna, as Krishna, is involved in this direct engineering. He's got other expansions that kind of handle that for him, and he's engaged in his personal lila with his devotees, his liberated devotees. That's his business, basically. So he has his expansions that arrange these other things. And, you know, it's like the president of a construction company. You know, he's not out at the site necessarily pounding with a hammer and directly dealing with things. He's got his employees, his energies that are taking care of that. So so that is the point here. And Srila Prabhupada, he was very insistent on this point that the material scientists and the philosophers and others who are thinking that the material nature is the real cause of things are making a mistake. And he very often uses this particular example of the nipples on the goat's neck. And see if there was some other example I was going to give. The Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Krishna bewilders the actual personality who is the engineer responsible for manifesting the material bodies and the material planets for the conditioned souls to inhabit in this universe. He was a little doubtful about Krishna, the little child Krishna, and that who he observed playing in Vrindavan with his friends. So to test him, he stole the calves and the cowherd boys that were out with Krishna in the forest. He stole them and hid them away in a cave. Then he went away for a short period of time, which amounted in our time to about a year. And during that time, Krishna manifested himself as duplicate cows, calves and cowherd boys. And they were playing like that. You know, Krishna, for an entire year, he manifested himself in this way. But Balaram kind of noticed. See, Balaram wasn't on the expedition into the forest with the calves and cowherd boys on that particular day that Brahma stole all the calves and cowherd boys, and Krishna manifested the duplicate set. But after some time, Balaram began to notice, well, these, the mothers and the fathers of the other cowherd boys, Krishna was playing as their child, and they felt more love for their children than they had before. It was the same kind of love they felt for Krishna. So Balaram noticed this one day. You know, well, he was suspicious about it, but on one day he noticed that as they were taking the calves out into the forest, the cows had new calves. So on the top of a hill, the cowherd men were with the cows and their new calves. And the cows saw the Krishna duplicate calves who were a year old and they shouldn't be fed by the cows. But they saw them and they ran down there. And Balaram said, okay, this is it. Now I've got them. You know, because they shouldn't be feeding those grown-up calves. They're like little cows now. So Balaram said, okay, I've been suspicious about this. Now I've got it. Okay, Krishna, now you tell me what's going on here. You're up to something. So it's like that if one actually studies the material nature very carefully, you can actually see in certain ways that something else is involved here. It's not just chemicals. It's not just matter combining without any guidance or control or design. Some scientists have actually come to that conclusion. So Krishna confessed to Balaram, okay, this is what happened. You know, Brahma stole the other ones. I manifested these duplicates. So yeah, you got me. I'm behind what's going on here. But as far as Brahma was concerned, he was just completely bewildered. He said, "Well, what's going on? I stole those calves, and this other set is there. Which one is real? You know, who is it? Like, does Krishna, when I come, manifest, you know, some boys and cows in the cave, and when I leave, he puts them somewhere else for me to see? What's?" You know, he just couldn't really figure it out. So, most of the scientists are actually in that position. They really can't figure out what's going on. And the thing that would enable them to understand to some extent whatever can be understood is that they would just accept there is Purusha and there is Prakriti. There is personality of Godhead. There is the material energy. What are the living beings? You know, all these living beings, they're a combination of spirit, soul, and the material elements, since the spirit soul that actually animates the bodies, and the symptom of the soul is consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada once said, the soul is conscious and consciousness. So these are some thoughts about this verse and purport. Any comments or questions? Bhagavati.
Whatever, he just gives his instructions, and he has his employees do the work, and those things are going on. But you know, in that case, like say he orders, okay, you know, build this wing of the house. There's a gap between his instruction, and he has this time required for him to get feedback as to what actually is going on. So my question is this: so Krishna's behind the whole cosmic manifestation, the creation of the material energy. But what about current situations, like what's going on in the world, you know, amongst nations, peoples like that? Is Krishna behind that? And if so, does he have a gap? Is there a lag time? Like in the example of, in the case of the manager of the construction company, yeah, he's ultimately in control of everything that's going on, but, you know, there might be something that kind of is going off a little bit, and he doesn't know about it until word gets back to him. So he's in charge of it, but not 100%. What's the case with Krishna and what's going on in the world today? Question was clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, of course, the example I gave is an example that Srila Prabhupada gave many times to explain these things. You know, the head of a government or the head of a corporation isn't actually, you know, personally doing everything. He may be in a prime minister, may be in his office playing with his grandson or something. But Krishna is present in the heart of every living being as super soul, and he's even present within every atom. Andantarishta Paramano Chayantarishtam. So he has instantaneous knowledge of everything. You know, even in the material world, if we had very elaborate systems of communication, you know, it still wouldn't work for them, because according to their understanding, there can't be instantaneous communication from Earth to a star. You know, like there's, like you said, some gap. But for Krishna, there aren't any gaps. Now, he does that through expansions. It's like he's got the super soul to handle these things. But it's not that Krishna himself has to be distracted from his pastimes, loving pastimes with his eternal associates. Super soul is maintaining that instantaneous communications link. Something else?
And that is, at some point in the story, Lord Brahma becomes very flustered, very bewildered, completely, almost as if he's having a nervous breakdown because he can't figure out what's going on. Are these the real Krishnas, or are these some fake Krishnas? How can there be two sets? Are these the real calves, or are they fake? How is this all coming? In the ultimate analysis, he had to come to the conclusion that this is all the work of Krishna. This is an amazing feat that the Supreme Lord, this little boy who's so lovable, so adorable, who's so cute, whom you just want to pick up and hold and play with, is much more, far beyond what he originally thought. This is a great, enormous person with enormous, amazing power, and that all we can do is bow our heads, fall to the ground, and beg to be born as one of the leaves of clover in Vrindavan in the future. To be born where the gopis will step over me, maybe then I'll have some real, true understanding. But right now, this is just too amazing for words. That was one of the ideas that I got.
Yes, it stated like he understood that Krishna's mystic power was much greater than his, and that he was like a firefly in the daytime. Or the other example that was given is, and I don't understand this one so well, but snow on a dark night, that was harder for me to understand, but like Spavas.
Yeah, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the living entities are sparks, and he says that the pradhana is are compared to like pradhana is like a flame, and then Prabhupada goes further on to say that they're all part of the original, which is Krishna, but he's Prabhupada said here is that he's fire. What? How do we understand that fire? Well, like the pradhana is fire, and so is Krishna. He's a supreme fire.
Well, there's flames, which are like fire includes the flames, the smoke, and the sparks.
Yeah.
All together, that's...
Yeah, they comprise, yeah. So how is that word fire understood? I mean, like, is it a flame fire? Or I was just curious what Prabhupada meant. If,
well, I was looking, when I was going through the purport, I was seeing that it appears to be used in two different ways,
yeah,
related ways, because in the one sense, it looks like he was using the analogy for two different purposes, but you know, he compared the universe to the smoke.
Yeah.
Because when the material, when the pradhan is manifested as the mahatattva and then the universe, all kinds of material forms are presented. And then, but that's not the cause. The ultimate cause is Krishna, yeah, which is like the fire, ultimately, yeah, that's the cause of everything. The flames, that part of the analogy I understood pretty well. That, you know, the material universe is like the smoke taking different forms that are either familiar or not familiar to us. And the sparks are like the soul. That's kind of clear because that analogy is often used, the relationship between the fire and the sparks that drift away from the fire get covered over, you know, they're pretty much.
So this is more or less just an analogy that Prabhupada is using then. It's not, like for instance, it's not like let's say the devastation. It says the devastation, there'll be this fire.
Yeah.
So this is just an analogy.
It's an analogy to help understand, you know, the different elements of creation, and ultimately to everything that he's doing, Srila Prabhupada is presenting here, is meant to help us understand the point that the material nature is not the ultimate cause of things, that something else is involved. They're all related. You know, the living entities, the material energy, spiritual world, everything is coming from Krishna ultimately. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, they've got the right conclusion, even though their parents, who are also liberated souls, they've come to the wrong conclusion. You know, so I was just saying that, you know, on a certain level, I mean, we can kind of look at the scientists as like the bewildered residents of Vrindavan. Don't necessarily have to see them. I mean, this is not for public